And again, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, so for those who are not aware, amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that you all have been in a series talking about the Beatitudes, and so I get the opportunity this morning to talk about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so what I want to come with you with this morning is just the God idea that the kingdom of God is not inherited by those who grasp for power, but by those who surrender their power to God. And so as we look at that this morning, we're going to look at the worldly way of doing things and the kingdom way of doing things. Because we live in a culture in this world to where we celebrate aggression. I should know, I'm a head football coach, right? So I want my players to be aggressive. I want them to run. Not, I just don't want them to tackle someone, but I want them to run through the soul of their opponent and come out on the other end. In this culture, we celebrate the loudest voice wins. The strongest person dominates. The most powerful person controls. The world says, take what is yours. Jesus said, trust God with what is yours. The world says, fight your way to the top. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. At first glance, this beatitude seems completely upside down because nobody wants to be called meek. The meek line is very short. We hear the word meek and we think weak. We think passive. We think timid. We think easily controlled. But biblical meekness is none of those things. Jesus is not blessing weakness. He is blessing power under control. So let's get after it this morning. When we talk about meekness, there's the Greek word, and it describes strength under restraint. Strength under restraint. Controlled power and gentleness born from confidence in God. One of the most common illustrations in the ancient world was a horse. A wild horse is powerful. A trained horse is still powerful. The difference is not in strength. The difference is in submission. The horse had to learn how to bring its strength under the authority of the rider. That's meekness at its core. Not the absence of strength, but the surrendering of strength. It's surrendering it for the betterment of the whole. So this morning, I'm here, and I'm blessed and honored to be here, and it's a really, really fun time. And over at Streetlight, there's someone by the name of Stacy who is leading there. She says hello and sends her love. Now, as we were going to bed last night, like, I'm sleeping pretty good. I hear her up wrestling through her notes and doing all these different types of things. I said, what's going on? She was like, well, I just want to, I said, it's going to be okay. Just trust the Spirit. She looks at me and she says, be quiet. You do this every Sunday. So my thoughts and my prayers are with her. When we look at Matthew 5 and 5, it is a direct echo of Psalms 37, 11. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Jesus is preaching from Psalms 37. So when we look at this from the context, Psalms 37 was written to a people who were frustrated. Tell me if this sounds familiar. They were frustrated because evil people seemed to be winning. Evil people seemed to be winning. The wicked appeared stronger. The wicked appeared richer. The wicked appeared more influential. And David, the author of this Psalms, keeps repeating, don't fret, trust God, and wait on the Lord. The entire Psalms is a lesson in meekness. Meekness is trusting God enough to stop trying to be God. Let me say that again for you ferocious note takers. Meekness is trusting God enough to where I don't have to try to be God. At the core, that's what meekness is. And so this morning, we're going to break this down in 3 points. The first point that we're going to talk about is how meekness refuses to grasp for control. Psalms 37 and 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord. The opposite of meekness is not weakness. The opposite of meekness is control. And many of us spend our lives trying to control. We try to control outcomes. We try to control people. We try to control circumstances. And we try to control timelines. Matter of fact, for some of us, control becomes our coping mechanism. We want to control the outcome of a thing. We want to control where we're going at in our life and in our careers. We want to control the people in our lives. If we're a husband or a wife and we have kids, we want to do the best we can to control them. And then we want to control the circumstances. Every one of these things is something that I've dealt with in my life, especially the circumstance part. For many of us in here, you know and understand that back in October of 2024, our house caught on fire. And so for the next 513 days, we were displaced. And so all throughout that time, the question that was asked of us is, When? When are you getting back in? And I say this today because I see Larry and Sapphire sitting in the front, and they were our contractors. And they will tell you that I don't think I ever posed to them when. Now, I can't speak for Stacy and our children. Because it came to the point where I didn't want to miss whatever God was doing in me at that time. Because, see, when we try to start controlling circumstances, we often lose sight of what God is doing in the moment. But me, people have learned something. God can manage the universe without our help. God can manage the universe without our help. And I know that at times we feel like we want to help God expedite or speed along the thing that we want. Again, going back to trying to control the circumstances of a thing. Meekness says, I trust God more than I trust my ability to force things. I trust God more than my ability to force things. See, in those 513 days, I had to come to that realization. And I had to come to that revelation. Because, see, I could sit back and I could mark off the days on my calendar. And I know I just said we were out for 514 days. But the Holy Spirit told me to go back and count a week before we were supposed to go back in the house. I wasn't counting the days. I wasn't counting the hours, I wasn't counting the months. Because I wasn't trying to control anything. I wasn't trying to control the outcome of what was going to happen. I had to learn and I had to adapt myself to the meekness that God was attempting to develop. We're trying to control outcomes when we serve the God of outcomes. He is the God of outcomes. So why do I need to help him to produce the outcomes that I believe that I want. And then I try to go and help him. And then what I realize is like, well, God, I need you to come and fix this outcome that I thought I wanted and I didn't want at all. And it's not helpful, it's not beneficial to me. When we talk about meekness, we have to look at who was described as the meekest man. When you look at Numbers 12 and 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth at that time." So when we think about Moses, we have to understand his resume. He confronted Pharaoh. He led a nation. He parted the Red Sea. He delivered God's laws. There was nothing weak about Moses. Yet God calls him meek. And the question we have to ask is why? Because Moses continually surrendered authority back to God. He didn't take it upon himself. He didn't bear the weight of it on himself. He always surrendered it back to God. His strength came from dependence and not dominance. His strength came from dependence on God and not trying to dominate a people. And many times what we don't like is, especially when it comes to leadership, and even sometimes when it comes to our churches, is that we feel like the church is trying to tell us what to do. That the church is trying to dominate my thoughts, my actions, and all the things that it wants me to do, when really what the church is beginning to teach and trying to teach its people is, where does your dependence lie? Does your dependence lie upon a political party? Does your dependence lie on certain policies and procedures and rules? Does your dependence lie upon who it is that you are and how much money that you make and what tax bracket that you're in? Because sometimes if we're not careful, our dependence becomes our identity. And because control becomes our coping mechanism, many of our anxieties come from trying to control what actually belongs to God. The word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your request made known to God. And we know that scripture and we can speak that scripture. However, we have to ask ourselves, am I able to experience that scripture? Because if many of my anxieties come from trying to control what belongs to God, then I need to adapt and I need to grow in my meekness, because now meekness begins to ask me questions. Meekness asks, what am I carrying that belongs to God? What am I trying to force? What am I refusing to surrender? And each and every day, there's the next opportunity to surrender something that needs to be surrendered, that we have to let go of, that we have to go and be an open-handedness a part of, to no longer try to take control of it or to wrestle with it, because why? Then that's what increases our anxiety. Because I'm trying to help God along where he really doesn't need my help. Where he has it already taken care of, where he has it already figured out. All we have to do is trust him. Because all of my dependence is upon him. It's not on the house that we bought, that we've raised our children in. It's not within that community. Displacement is not a bad thing. It's a challenging thing, but it's also a growing thing, to where we're able to grow and to really experience God. And I got to experience God. I love scripture. I read scripture. I know we have all these different devotionals that we do. My question to us today, church, is when was the last time that we actually experienced him? When did the word become so life within us that I experienced him in such a way that was different than any other way that I ever have? Because see, when that happens, then meekness occurs. Because now I feel a dependence upon him. Our second point this morning is meekness chooses trust over retaliation. Meekness chooses trust over retaliation. But you don't know what they did to me, Lord. You don't know how rude Jasmine was to me. I know she smiles and I know she sings like the angels, but man, Jasmine is mean, Lord. And what she did to me was so hurtful that I just feel like I need to do something. I know I'm just talking about myself this morning, amen. I know that's not any of y'all, amen. Psalms 38 and 8 says this, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Meekness does not mean you cannot get angry. Matter of fact, the word of God says, be angry and sin not. So we can get angry. We can experience that emotion. It's healthy for us to do that. But here's the caveat. That means that anger does not get control of you. You can get angry, but don't allow anger to become controlling to you, to dominate you, to dominate your thoughts, to dominate your emotions, to dominate your actions. This is what David is saying to a people who are tired of what they're seeing and how the wicked are prospering in their way. He says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. And we have to understand, I know there is this thing about church and churchgoers and church people that we are just really nice. Sometimes we want to perceive Jesus as being nice. And sometimes we are nice when we need to be kind. See, kindness brings clarity. Niceness brings confusion. Let me give you an example. I get the lead here in our city, and I remember there was a time when I had to let someone go, and I knew I was going to have to let that person go, and I had what I thought was a very productive conversation, Jasmine. And I'm like, man, woof. I get home, Stacy said, how did that go? I said, man, it went really, really well. Man, whoo, able to move forward, come back in on Monday morning, the person walks down the hall, I said, what are you doing here? She's like, what do you mean? We had a conversation, and really like, well, yeah, but what I did communicate is that you're fired because I was being nice instead of kind. Kindness brings clarity. Niceness brings confusion. Because we're trying to be so nice to package it just right, to say it just right, to do it just right when it's like, no, man, let's just be kind. And sometimes those things happen in our lives. And so we teeter sometimes on this word angry because we feel like, well, that's wrong. And it's like, no, it's not. It's only wrong when anger starts to become controlled and it controls your action. The meek person understands just because I have the power to retaliate does not mean I should. Just because I have the power and the authority to retaliate doesn't mean that I should. So I'm going to speak specifically right now to parents. Parents, just because you have the authority and the power to retaliate doesn't mean that you should. And you'll hold that baby man and they're just the apple of God's eye and they're the apple of yours, but they're going to be 17, 18, 13, and 8, 9 one day. And they're going to do something to where you're going to retaliate. And the first thing you want to do is raise your voice because that works really well. But meek people understand that meekness is, I know that I have this power and I have this authority, but I choose to surrender it to him. And I choose not to retaliate. Because I don't need to. Because I'm trusting him. I put my dependence upon him. I don't have to be that coach that every time one of my young men does something wrong, I'm kicking you off the team. I have the power and the authority to do that, but I choose not to. Because if I kick them off, where are they going? No. It's a growing and a teachable moment. But many times, what's easier is I can retaliate, I can remove them, versus having to really speak to them or talk to them or, dare I say, disciple or mentor them through what they're walking through and what they're going through. Jesus describes himself in this way in Matthew 11 and 29. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I am gentle and lowly at heart." This is Jesus describing himself, his character, if you will. The word gentle is the same root word for meek. And so now, like we did with Moses, let's begin to consider Jesus. He could calm storms, raise the dead, call a legion of angels from heaven. Yet, when he was mocked, he remained composed. When he was falsely accused, he remained secure. When crucified, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Brothers and sisters, that's not weakness. That is strength fully surrendered to the Father. This is why we call on the name of Jesus. It's because of what he models for us, not simply because he went to the cross for us. It's because of what he models. So when we read the Beatitudes, we're reading his resume. We're reading his character. The cross was not proof of Jesus lacked power. The cross was proof that he had power and he chose not to use it for the betterment of us, for our salvation, for our reconciliation, and our connection back to the Father. That way we can be in right relationship with him. Anyone can strike back. Anyone can retaliate. Anyone can get revenge. Only the meek can absorb pain without becoming pain. Only the meek can absorb pain without becoming pain. That's what we have to understand. I'm going to absorb some pain, but how do I absorb pain? How do I absorb the hurt, the frustration, the wounds, without allowing those things to define who I am, without becoming pain and then being painful to others? Because see, once that happens, then it's hard to follow the two greatest commandments. It's going to be hard for me to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and with all of my mind. Because now my strength is compromised. Because I believe I got to harness and I got to use my strength now to go and retaliate against you. I got to use my strength now to go and get me some get back, as the young people say. I got to get some get back, coach. I got to go get this revenge. Only the meek can absorb pain without becoming pain. Let's apply this to a wound. When we are wounded, the first thing that our flesh that comes to our mind is this: how do I get even? Y'all gonna leave me out there by myself. That's all right though. I'm gonna pray for y'all and I'll just come back once a year. That's the first thing that our flesh says is, how do I get even? However, meekness asks, how do I remain faithful? How do I remain faithful? Here's the thing. Jesus wrestled with these questions within himself. Let's think about the Garden of Gethsemane and how he, because he was so anxious, he was sweating blood. You don't think he was wrestling with, man, I can call down a legion and we can end all this. And guess what? We now fulfill what everybody thought the Messiah was going to look like. And he was wrestling and toiling within himself. But he knew the greatest victory is not defeating your enemy. He knew the greatest victory was refusing to become your enemy. That's what he knew. The greatest victory wasn't about him defeating the enemy. It was, man, I'm not gonna become like my enemy. See, that's the blessing. He loved us so much that, yes, he went to the cross, and yes, we'll celebrate that. But up until then, his journey to the cross, what he was toiling was, is that I'm not going to defeat my enemy by becoming like them. But I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to be counter the culture. See, there's a worldly way of doing things, and then there's the kingdom way of doing things. What he's modeling is the kingdom way of doing things. My last point, meekness receives what others try to take. Jesus says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Notice the word inherit. An inheritance is received, not seized, not manipulated, not conquered, received. This is kingdom language. The world operates through acquisition. The worldly way is through acquisition. I'm going to go and manipulate it. Let me get some business partners. Let me go create a strategic plan. Let me go do all this stuff so we can acquire something. The kingdom operates through inheritance. And this is why inheritance matters. My children, they don't have to earn an inheritance from me. My children receive inheritance because of relationship. It's relationship. Jesus is saying the future belongs to those who trust the Father. The earth belongs to those who know they are sons and daughters of God. That's relationship. That's relationship. That relationship is so profound when we look at the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam, he tried to grab at it. If you don't believe me, read Genesis chapter 3. And I know Eve gets a really raw deal here. But my question becomes, where was Adam? Did he fall asleep at the wheel? Did he neglect his responsibility? But see, he was grasping for something and reaching for something that God had not yet given. So he grasped for it. And humanity, ever since the fall, has been grasping for power, for position, for recognition and control ever since then. But then the second Adam comes along, who is named Jesus. And he actually says that equality with God is something not to be grasped. Meaning, a privilege to be aggressively held onto or exploited or asserted for one's own benefit. That's the difference. Adam grabbed, Jesus trusted. That's the difference. We see that in Philippians chapter 2 when it says that he emptied himself. He humbled himself. He surrendered himself, and God highly exalted him. Adam grasped and lost everything. Jesus surrendered and inherited everything. Adam grasped and lost everything. Jesus surrendered and he inherited everything. Praise and worship team, come on back up. I'm wrapping up and I'm closing. The greatest irony of this beatitude is this. The one who spoke it is the one who fulfilled it. Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem riding a donkey, not a war horse, not a military chariot, a donkey, which is the fulfillment of what Zechariah said. Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. The word humble can also be translated as meek. The king came meek, and because he came meek, he inherited a kingdom. Not just Jerusalem, not just Israel, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, the earth. So the question today, brothers and sisters, is not when is Pastor Coach coming back? Do I have strength? The question is, who is controlling my strength? Because the blessed life is not found in overpowering others. It is found in surrendering ourselves to God. Blessed are the meek, not because we are weak, but because we trust the Father enough to let him determine our future. And what Jesus promises is that we will inherit the earth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you right now for the opportunity that you have given us to allow your spirit to move and to work within us, to expose those places within us that we have not fully surrendered, and to where we're still relying on our own strength, our own knowledge, our own understanding. But Father God, I pray for each and every one of us right now that we surrender ourselves completely and wholly to you. And this is why we look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith, because that's what he modeled. He emptied himself. Father God, show us individually what that looks like to empty ourselves, to let ourselves go, to leave it all at his feet. Not to stare back at it, not to contemplate going back, but simply to leave it. And in that, brothers and sisters, our strength grows. Not because of who we are, but because of what he did. And so, Father God, we pray right now that we experience you now in our praise and in our worship, and that those experiences, Father God, will allow us to be your witnesses here. That, Father God, we don't get seduced by the world's way of doing things, but, Father God, we surrender to the kingdom way of doing things. And in that, you will be highly exalted and lifted up. And then you will draw all unto yourself. And in that, you will be glorified. We pray these things in the risen name of King Jesus. And we all said, amen.